from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Queen Akim, I'm Danielle Venton. Later this week, Governor Jerry Brown will head to the International Climate Conference in Paris, where he'll tout California's leadership in curbing greenhouse gas emissions. As KQED's politics and government editor Scott Schaefer explains, some high-tech titans from California are also hopping on the green energy bandwagon.
Silicon Valley titans are lining up to support a new clean energy initiative announced this week by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff, and Hewlett-Packard CEO Meg Whitman are just some of the Californians who dominate the Gates investment group.
The message that I get is that people are seeing this as an opportunity to take the investments that they're making to a new level and show the degree of seriousness that's needed.
That scientist, Jeff Greenblatt. He studies clean energy technology for Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Greenblatt says reversing climate change will require a kind of global Manhattan Project, an international effort to reinvent many sectors.
It's not just an electricity problem. It's a fuels problem. It's a building infrastructure. It's vehicles. And it all has to change much faster than it normally would under natural circumstances.
And that, Greenblatt says, is why Silicon Valley's history of innovation and bringing products to market quickly is exactly what's needed.
If you put a lot of money in it with a lot of important and influential people sort of saying, we think that this is critical, it will catalyze other activities and motivate people.
Solving climate change will likely require incremental progress across a wide range of technologies. A silver bullet solution to something this complex seems unlikely. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
It's a debate that's been going on for years in the U.S. Just how much should the minimum wage of an American worker be? But that debate now has a tone of urgency with recent concerns about income inequality. Now cities are making the wage policies that traditionally states and the federal government have made. As reporter Pauline Bartoloni tells us, about half of the recent minimum wage hikes have been in California.
When Lydia Flores comes home after a full day of work and a two-hour train commute, she doesn't always feel like cooking. Even if she did, it's tough to afford the groceries for herself and her two teenage sons.
I'm telling them they gotta savor their eggs now. Eat it slow.
Flores works full-time as a cashier at a Los Angeles supermarket and makes $12.88 an hour. Add to that a Social Security check for her youngest son, who is developmentally disabled. All in all, Flores has roughly $2,000 a month to cover her mortgage and family necessities, and she still needs help from local charities.
You pay one bill and leave the other, okay? And then you'll get the disconnection notice, and then you pay that bill, and then leave another bill.
Stories of people like Flores who work but are still poor have fueled movements to raise wages. The Fight for 15 campaign is one of the leading proponents. Organizing director Kendall Fell says their strategy isn't specifically to lobby city governments. Their protests put heat on employers, especially in fast food, for a higher wage and a union.
There's all type of ways to get there, and I don't think that the workers really care how they get there. They care that they have $15 so they can get out of poverty.
The minimum wage movement's success is clear in California. About half of roughly 30 local governments around the country who've upped the base wage are here.
I actually don't think it's that surprising.
Andrew Bush of Claremont McKenna College says many of those California cities or counties, like San Francisco or Los Angeles, are large, liberal, and expensive.
Policymakers or voters are more receptive to an increased minimum wage because they see that it just costs a lot more to live in those places.
He says if the current wave continues, it could give proponents of a statewide wage hike more ammunition.
They might begin to make the argument that there are too many cities at risk of losing jobs to competitors' cities, and the playing field needs to be leveled out.
Still, Bush says local policies often stay local. Take sanctuary cities for undocumented immigrants. However, Bush says the minimum wage debate could be different.
There could just be a kind of psychological momentum.
And that's got some California employers biting their nails. The California Business Roundtable hasn't taken a stance on a statewide hike, but its president, Robert Lapsley, doesn't like this city-by-city approach.
How do you make good public policy if you're doing it solely within one city
when it's going to have ripple effects throughout the entire region.
What's more, he says, the minimum wage was never intended to support families of three or four people.
That's the wrong debate. It's really about we have to be growing our jobs so that we have middle-class jobs.
Manufacturing jobs, for example. Still, at the state level, Democratic Senator Mark Leno is pushing for a $13 statewide minimum.
No one in California should be living in poverty if they're fully employed. No one living in California should qualify for public assistance if they're fully employed.
Leno believes the move by cities like Los Angeles to raise the minimum wage is providing inspiration and a laboratory for state proposals. Lydia Flores says a higher wage would change things for her family.
Even probably take a vacation with my kids, or even be able to go buy them more clothes or something.
Voters could get to weigh in on a $15 statewide minimum wage. Advocates are trying to get that on the ballot next year. For the California Report, I'm Pauline Bartolone in Sacramento.
That story was produced by Cal Matters, a nonprofit journalism venture dedicated to explaining California policies and politics. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, December 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. More at irvine.org. Bayer, committed to the Bay Area, the next generation of scientists, and its global patient community. Bayer, science for a better life. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.